Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were to say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear was to say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As always, when I step into the pulpit, I am silently praying that all of the diverse thoughts that I tried to pull together during the week will somehow reflect God's word. So funny I should be preaching Labor Day weekend, as it is really my least favorite weekend of the year. I always found it strange that the weekend meant to pay respect to the workforce was indeed the weekend many workers were stuck at home gearing up for the year ahead. And I still find myself looking forward to this particular long weekend with some degree of resentment while I watch others heading out for a fun weekend at the cottage. And all I can think of is the return to routine, back to school, which means less time with my grandson. It's always a sad sort of weekend for me. So I did two things in preparation for this least favorite of all weekends this year. I said yes to preaching, because in retirement, I want to afford my colleagues some perks I didn't always have. And on a whim, Thursday morning, you know, Thursday morning was the morning after the tornado warnings and the floods and downed trees, I decided to take my grandson camping. What a perfect way to feel like I, too, had one last summer vacation. Now listen, I pride myself on being independent. There isn't much I have been afraid to tackle in these past 19 years when I've been on my own. But there was one thing for which I wasn't prepared: setting up a tent single-handed. It was supposedly a pop-up tent. My son told me it was. The directions on the package told me it was. And we all agreed it would be a better choice than my own six-person tent, which I have set up myself so many times. So off we went. Thankfully, because there were only two of us, we took my barbecue, my camp stove, and my propane fire pit, just in case we needed them. And we did. The ground was soaked. Within 3 hours of setting up, we got a warning about severe thunderstorms rolling in. And just to add to our experience, there was a barking dog, two sites beside us of partiers, and you know the cicadas whose chirping at home is so delightful. I gotta tell you, when there are a million of them surrounding your tent, they almost drove me out of my mind. However, on the way home, my grandson and I evaluated our experience, as we always do when we camp together. And my grandson gave it a 9.5 out of 10. Even though I cussed a lot, he said. But you know the reason he rated it so high? We got to spend time together. Oh, and the waves on Lake Erie were just like the ocean. We got to spend time together. What if that were the way we looked at all we do together here in this community? What if, when there are disagreements, what if when we do not want to attend one more meeting? What if when decisions are made that perhaps we wouldn't have chosen? What if we gave it all a 9.5 out of 10 because we got to be together? Because after all, that's at the root of all we do as followers of Jesus, isn't it? We get to live in community. Now, we're probably grateful we don't share all things in common, as was a practice in the early days of Jesus' followers. That might actually be a little too much like spending a night in a soggy, noisy campground. But community is for sure at the heart of what we do and who we are as we live together following the way of Jesus. Now, just about the time the theme for this fall was being created in Maya's imagination, my daughter-in-law announced to me that she was going to make a quilt this summer. Now listen, I love this daughter-in-law, and we have collaborated together on many projects over the years, but what has often happened is she gets the bright idea, and all of a sudden, I do the work. But we've also come to realize over the years that there's a reason for that. And Paul reminds us of that today. We all have different gifts. Some of us, not me, are made for chairing committees. Some of us are better at meal planning, at hospitality. Some of us could happily spend all day with a hammer fixing things around the church. Others shine when they are left alone with an idea to flesh out a plan from someone else's spark. Now, I just to let you know, I'm happy to report that my daughter-in-law has stitched almost the whole quilt top together by hand. A summer labor of love, for sure. And so far, I just got to use my creative eye to help her choose a pattern and color scheme. But of course, there's still the quilting to be done, so stay tuned. Now, starting next week, I'm sure you've read in your Wednesday weekly, we will have the awesome privilege of enjoying quilts made by an amazing quilter whose creative vision and talent for design and implementation is well beyond anything most of us could ever create. But as I mused about the history of quilting and the humble beginnings of the art, I suppose you might call it, I called to mind some family experiences which might tickle our imagination about quilting as a metaphor for life together in community. When I was in my last year of high school, I had this big bundle of scraps of blue fabric from all of the clothes I made for myself after my big, much older sister gifted me with a sewing machine when I was 13. I was told some of the fabric was too lightweight for a quilt. I was told 2-inch squares would drive me crazy, so I'd probably give up. I was told a lot of things, but I stuck with my vision. And two things happened. I managed to get it to a size to fit the top of a double bed, and I quit. Yes, indeed, sewing those little 2-inch squares together, even by machine, was not a lot of fun. And I also realized I was not the type of person who had the patience to sit alone long enough to quilt that precious thing by hand. So off to my mother's quilting group it went. When it returned home, I simply sewed a long blue flounce around it, and it fit a double bed perfectly. And I planned this week, actually, inspired by our theme for the fall, to take that flounce off so it can be used on one of the single beds at the cottage. Teamwork wins again. And on the note of my mom's quilting group, here's my favorite story about quilting, not only as a metaphor for how we work together in community, but as a means of deep and profound pastoral care. My mom belonged to a quilting group at her church for many years. I couldn't even imagine how a group of women could enjoy sitting around with a needle and thread, sitting still for hours on end. But I was happy. It made my mom and her friends happy. And they would sometimes quilt as a favor for others, like they did for me, but often they would take orders and make money for the church. Well, fast forward about 10 years after my high school quilting experience, when I had 4 babies who were fortunate enough to enjoy a variety of my mother's quilts. And the reality began to set in that my mom's memory was failing. It was a long, heartbreaking 15 years of decline. But it was, without fail, within the fold of that quilting group that my mother found unconditional love, support, and respect. If the quilt they were working on was a paid project, someone would quietly rip out what my mom had quilted the week before. And that didn't matter. She was oblivious to that routine. Quilting for her was a labor of love, and being able to still participate made her feel she was still doing for others. She was still part of the community. That quilting group was the best expression of pastoral care my mother received in those 15 years. This summer, my grandson took the last quilt my mom made for his dad on his trip to the East Coast, and I thought how thrilled my mom would be with that. The matching quilt that was never finished, stitched in what became very uneven, awkward stitches that would have horrified her if she'd been aware. Well, that quilt is going to be one of my winter projects with my grandson. Neither of us like to sit still, so it should be an interesting winter, but it will be another labor of love. And that quilt will have been quilted by three generations. Much like sometimes how the work begun by one generation in a church finds completion many years or many generations later. A new season awaits us at Islington. We'll be doing some quilting ourselves, as you may have seen in our Wednesday weekly. But aside from the real quilts we'll be making, there will also be others less visible, less tangible, but beautiful. Every time we sit around table at a business meeting, every time we gather to remember loved ones who have passed through that thin veil, even when some stitches are not perfectly spaced and beautiful, even when someone offers a square that's slightly off the vision that we had for the finished product, in all of that, our work together continues. And upon occasion, we'll look at the pieces we put together and decide some need to go in different places. That's the way it is with quilts when we think about what gifts certain people have. Because after all, it's the master quilter, the quilter divine, who puts that quilt together in the end. We're just the humble folk holding the needle and thread, and once the master quilter gives the nod, then it's all good. What an amazing cord that binds us all together in Christian love. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.